Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. Was there a second there when you thought I might not show up or something? That was scary. There's seats back there in the back row in the corner for you. Enjoy it. I'm seating people in the audience now. I'm such a hands-on performer. I sat everyone that's here. We're at the UCB Theater, Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, as it's called for the long version. I call it the UCB Theater, so do a lot of other people. We're right before Comedy Death Ray, also known as CDR. So I'm going to get to the guests in a second here, but I just really quickly want to read something that I found today. This was sent to me in 2006. So it was somebody that had a lot of faith in me and my career and thought that I could star in a motion picture. And he went to the trouble, I'm not going to say his name, but this gentleman on MySpace sent me a script. But only the first, you know, page or two of it. The first scene. This is the first scene from a script that is intended to star me. It starts like this. Fade in from black. Now I'm reading this, I'm going, this guy knows what he's doing. Then it says, opening credits along with opening music. He's really on his game. Music is bassoon music. And then it says in parentheses next to bassoon music, in case you didn't know what bassoon music was, sluggish loser music. All right, so let me set it up for you before I continue reading. Doug is waking up out of bed. Doug goes to the bathroom. He has the look of a scruffy 30-something-year-old man. No, it's all fake. He starts running his bath water and then pours bubble bath in the tub. Like I said, this guy knows my shit. I like a nice bubble bath. He looks in the mirror while waiting for the tub to fill up and starts sucking in his gut and making porno star faces. Then he gets in the tub and takes his Palm Pilot off the toilet seat and dials up some Asian porn. What indeed, sir? He dials up some Asian porn and starts masturbating in the tub. Because that is how it's done in this day and age. You get your Palm Pilot and get in the tub and dial up some Asian porn. While into it, he starts saying, now I've got some dialogue. Oh yeah, you like that shit, bitch, yeah. Oh, you so horny. Papa-san is horny too. This goes on for a while. This goes on for way too long. He mentions Saigon and and it looks like I'm going to, have an orgasm. And then there's a loud knock at the door. From behind the door, we hear Doug's mom. What's going on in there? That's not what she sounds like. That's how she's written. I say, nothing, Ma, just taking a shower. Which is already like, what? There's no water running. You drew a bath, you dumbass. Then she says, well, hurry the hell up. I have to use the toilet. I've had the squirts all night. So this guy knows my sense of humor. Then I say, all right, Ma, let me dry off. And then it says, whispering, Jesus fucking Christ. Then she says, taking a shower, my ass. How old are you again? Still taking baths? So now I'm starting to get a little insulted by this script because it captures me and my mother so well. And then it says that I try to put on a towel, and then she says, hurry up again. And I says, I am. And then this is the best part. Doug wraps a towel around himself, leaves the bathroom, closes the door behind him, and then we see Doug's face with a disappointing look as from behind the door we hear Doug's mother unload a thunderous fart and shit splatter. This is the best line of the one scene he sent me. Doug then shakes his head as if humiliated. As if humiliated. It's just me and my mom at home. What do I care if she has a thunderous shit splat? Oh, Mom. I would more like shrug like, what are you going to do? Rather than total humiliation. My guests tonight. Yeah, there are guests. Let me pull out my timepiece so we can keep this thing running on schedule. We got two terrific guests. Last weekend I was at the UCB Marathon, the Del Close Marathon at UCB in New York, and it was a lot of fun, and we recorded a half-hour episode of the show, or at least we thought we did. The tape turned out, it sounds so shitty that I don't know if I'm going to present it on iTunes or not for people to listen to. The guests were Matt Besser, Matt Walsh, and Horatio Sands, all like, Upright Citizens Brigade original dudes. And so we'll see how many, comments I get on the internet about people wanting to hear that. But I'm sad to say that the audio turned out shitty on it. And we'll see what happens. But this show is being recorded perfectly, and people are going to enjoy it with their ears, especially since my guests are two very funny gentlemen. They met on the show Punked, and they've been friends ever since. Please welcome Dax Shepard and Tom Arnold, you guys. Yeah, that's right. This is real guests on a real show. Tom's wearing a lovely purple and white pinstripe number.
Thanks.
That's very
Doug.
Pleasurable. Why'd you have to take your phone out? What's going
to
happen with your phone?
You saw you took yours out.
I took mine out to keep track of the time. It's the only timepiece I own.
But I couldn't sit down with mine in my pocket. It hurt my nut.
Oh, okay.
It did.
Hi, Dax.
Now, do you typically describe what you're seeing for the podcast listeners?
Like, I try to. If there's
could you say
that
I have
happening.
A cowboy hat on?
Dax is wearing a cowboy hat.
Thank you for noticing my cowboy hat.
And how is Urban Cowboy 2 coming along?
We've had some hiccups. We hired a guy that wrote this to do some punch-up work on it. And now I go take a horse ride and I splatter shit on
that
my
wrote
saddle.
You on MySpace?
Yeah, whatever.
And he splatters shit all over his saddle?
Yes,
but
I
your
do.
Mom replaced Deborah Winger, and which I think is a better choice. Deborah
this
doesn't
kid is one note. And you know what my movie was called? This movie I was going to star in? It was called Lotto Man.
Oh, okay.
And like, why call it that if like the only thing that happens in the scene you send is people in a bathroom?
Right.
Sounds like I'm going to win
sound
the lottery.
Like, yeah, it doesn't sound like you're hitting the lotto. What?
Doug, do we have to do the movies people send us online?
No.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I've been doing that for quite 5 years.
That explains Big
yeah,
Bully.
Yeah, exactly. And the Stupids. And Carpool.
That was the first script ever sent online.
Yes.
Big Bully.
Big Bully.
Followed by
Mikhail's
Navy.
Hey, will you
Navy.
Do this?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
What'd you
have
say
to.
Followed by what?
Mikhail's Navy.
Yes. They all came out the same weekend.
Classic.
It was a great weekend.
Classic, right?
I remember my agent's like, it can't get any lower than the stupids.
I said
it could.
I said to Tom once, I said, how much did McHale's Navy make? And he said, $5 million. But more importantly, it costs $40 million.
Yeah. And I got $5 million. It made about $300,000. But they who cares about that?
They recouped your fee.
Yeah, they recouped. Good. Maybe.
Yeah.
So you guys,
I wonder
met,
why I don't get offered movies like
you
that.
You met on Punk'd? That's
yeah.
Like really where you met?
He was in an episode.
Yeah.
Being Punk'd?
No.
Or helping?
No.
Helping. He we were the bit was that we were trying to find an assistant for Tom Arnold. No, that's not
for Ashton.
For Ashton, and then Ashton happened to live next door to Tom Arnold, who would come over while the assistant was on
and
her
be
own.
Be a total pest.
Let me just say this about Ashton. I met him. He was going to the University of Iowa.
Just
want to
remind you, this is recorded.
Yes, okay. I don't give a shit. Okay. You're the one that has to suck his balls.
Wait.
I
mean, hey, how dare you?
Anyway, so he came up to me. I was in a crowd of people.
His balls are tastier than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. I didn't know they are.
Yeah. I'd rather be sucking a young, gorgeous man's balls than Arnold Schwarzenegger's.
Fucking Arnold's are titanium.
Okay. Well, exactly. That's a metallic taste. I wouldn't want anything to do with it.
Anyway. He's
getting We're totally off
week.
Topic.
Okay, but
Ashton
came up. I was at the Airliner, which is this bar in Iowa City. I was back for a football game, and this kid kind of broke through the crowd and goes, hey, my name's Ashton, and I'm going to go to Hollywood and be an actor. And he said I was like, yeah, good luck. And so he's really pissed off about that. Except, check this out. He goes to Hollywood, meets a much more famous older woman, hooks up with her,
sure,
steals my game.
Yeah, he copied you.
Except for the fact that Demi is really good looking.
12 years
later. Yeah.
It's nearly identical.
He stole your game.
Look like
he
Demi
stole your
Moore.
Game but by she having does look like a hit TV show and a lot of starring roles under his belt before hooking up with the older lady.
Yeah. And Roseanne does look like
you
Demi
did it
in
backwards.
Iowa.
You're like the Benjamin Button of...
Thank you.
Benjamin Kutcher
romances.
But, you know, not to bring it down, but the day that I worked with Dax on Punk'd was the day the Challenger crashed. And I thought, oh, good, I don't have to go to work today. I mean, I didn't know I was terrible the Challenger crashed, but I thought, oh, I don't have to. Are we going to work? It doesn't seem too funny. But everybody was.
You know, Doug's uncle was
did
the pilot
it anyway?
Of the Challenger.
Yeah, we did it. Nobody knew about it. I was the first person who went down and goes,
I did not know until you just said that the Challenger
I
crashed.
Went and told everybody the fucking Challenger crashed. Do we still have to shoot this shit?
I thought it was a bit.
Yeah, it was like 9/11.
I was like, that's a weird punk.
No,
you're trying
so,
to,
tries to get
no.
out of every job by
no,
saying
no, no,
some
no.
spaceship
no.
just crashed.
No, it's from
the
being...
SS Reagan just sank in the Pacific.
No. Here's the deal. This is the difference between me and you, Doug. I'm an addict. So when I saw 9/11 happening...
Wait, that's not a difference.
Yeah, well, but see...
You're just a sober addict.
Yeah. But you see 9/11 is terrible, and it keeps going and going, and it was a Tuesday, and I had my men's group, and I started thinking, hey, wait a minute. This thing looks like it's going to keep going. I better get down to MacArthur Park. It could be a snow day.
By a little horse.
You know, the world may end. I don't want to be the last guy to get some blow.
There might be a line.
But unfortunately, the world did not end.
Yeah.
I didn't know snow day meant
just your
day
luck.
You could get blown.
You never thought that, too.
No, I've completely thought that.
Okay, good.
In fact, I carry a little stash of Coke in my sock on airplane rides just in case it starts to go down.
Do you think that's why Chevy Chase agreed to star in Snow Day? Do you think he thought he was being offered, like, a day of cocaine?
Yeah.
It turned out to be a comedy with Chris Elliott and a bunch of kids.
I didn't even know about that one.
I didn't either.
It seems like my agent would have said
it's a movie called Snow Day.
Why didn't we get that?
It was very popular, but you had to get out of school to see it.
When you said Snow Day, I was immediately picturing the
Cuba Gooding.
Movie.
After he won the Academy Award.
Snow Dogs.
What do you think he thought that was?
Yeah. He did it backwards, too. He was like, won an Academy Award, and then he played that guy that was mentally challenged.
Right.
You've got to do that, and then you get the Academy Award, and then you...
He flipped the script.
Jerry Maguire.
He said, I've got my Oscar, now I'm going to play a retard in a way that ruins everything for me for the
now,
rest of
the
Now,
had he been retarded in Snow Dogs, that would have been a blockbuster. A retarded guy on the...
One of the dogs was retarded.
What was his name in the... Radio.
Radio.
Radio and
how do you,
the dogs
but he committed to that.
Movie.
He committed to that. I mean, how do you, after day two, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh,
it's
no.
Too late.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's too late to.
He should have fun with it now, though. He should do, like, Radio Goes to Prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Radio goes to prison. That's pretty much the only one he needs to do. How
and then
awesome
Radio
would
goes
that
to
be?
Prison 2 and 3.
Well, I want to say that we do, Dax and I do a lot of charity stuff. And one of the things, I do a lot of stuff for the Special Olympics, and it's always great. And then I remember when Barack Obama made that comment on Leno, and he made a comment about Leno about, you know, about bowling.
Yeah, Special Olympics,
and so I talked to Tim Schreiber, and he's like, yeah, maybe we could get a couple of our best athletes, because the bowlers, the best Special Olympic athletes could kick your ass. They kick all
over
us.
Yeah, right.
I've competed against them. They're really good. Yeah. But I just said, hey, and then I'll add that I was just in Japan, and how fun, you know, because our thing is, you can't, we're all the same. And I said, especially in Japan, because I couldn't tell the difference between the people that are helping and the Special Olympic athletes, because they look the same.
Right.
And then Tim Schreiber's like, that sounds terrible. That sounds sort of racist. And
but you meant to say that they didn't look special needs, not that Japanese people look special.
No, I meant they look like this because of their eyes. They all look the same.
Oh, you said.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell.
And
I
that didn't help?
I go up to a kid. I go, hey, good job, buddy. He goes, I'm the helper. Oh, I go, oh, okay. You, good job. You know. But what it means is, they're all the same. Joel, my assistant, told me never to tell that story again.
Yeah, and you should start just going up to him saying, are you retarded or Asian or both?
Mentally challenged, we call it. We call it mentally challenged.
Retarded American.
Mentally challenged.
I went to school with a lot of retarded Americans.
By the way, he was there. He was there. He heard it all happen.
Oh,
he tried to get me out of it. He goes, Tom's
pointing to somebody in the
audience. I
want to
know who's more angry in the audience.
My assistant Joel Manafort.
Retarded people or the Asians? Who do you think is more offended to be?
Well,
by the way, when you say,
fortunately, the mentally handicapped don't come out to my shows.
They come to mine all the time. They bring their medals. When I was at Caroline's last week, they bring their. They do. I go to one kid. He goes, I go, what's your job here? And he goes, making food. I go, you know what your job is? It's to laugh at me. And he goes, if you're funny. You know, that's the thing about them. They're so damn honest.
They're very literal.
Yeah. And by the way, Asians, you can't. The thing I learned about Asians is
careful.
You can't offend them.
Hold on. Just one.
You're lumping all Asians together.
We're going to take a deep breath before you finish the thing about Asians.
Yeah. And
we don't take one.
We don't just call them Asians.
Breath.
We call them mentally Asians.
No. But you can't lump Filipino people in with people from Okinawa or people from Japan because they're all different.
Right.
And that's why they like Filipinos get really mad when you think they're Korean.
Uh-huh.
I found out that at the massage parlor down by the airport. And
you called your masseuse by the wrong ethnicity?
Yes.
Like, that would be the thing to get offended by.
I know, actually.
Jacking Tom Arnold off.
Yeah, she wasn't jacking.
How dare you? I'm Cantonese.
She was working the middle chakra.
Do you just go in and say to those ladies, have you seen the movie Happy Ending?
Let me just say, exactly, by the way.
Have you seen that, though? Tom is terrific in that.
Oh, I was.
Yeah.
I
was.
I hate to get serious here.
Maggie Gyllenhaal. I mean, it's a great bunch of people. Yeah. I'm shocked I was in it.
Y'all should rent that. That's really good.
Shocked I was in it.
I made an assumption that no one saw it. Did you hear that?
Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't see it.
You guys should check that out.
Who saw Happy Endings? Don Roos is a great writer. Who saw Happy Endings?
Don Roos.
Those are all of our family.
Not enough.
It's Don Roos, the director, is in the audience.
Yeah. He wouldn't even applaud. No, writer, director, he's great. He's great. I'm very lucky.
He also did the opposite of sex.
Yes, that's what he did.
What's he up to now?
He wrote Marley and Me.
More stuff?
Well, he wrote Marley and Me.
But he didn't get the credit. He didn't like it. He's one of those writers that gets a lot of money to come in and rewrite without putting their name on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote a lot of stuff. He writes women's parts really well.
Well, I don't know if this is an appropriate story, but on Baby Mama, they brought in, what's his genius from About Schmidt?
Alexander Payne?
Yeah.
Alexander Payne. They brought in Alexander Payne to do a rewrite of Baby Mama, and he worked for 2 weeks, and he got $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't use a single word in his rewrite.
Dax knows what everybody makes. That's what everybody makes. He's like Rain Man.
I know what you're making tonight.
He knows everything about everything.
Yeah. Well, because his rewrite, weren't you like suddenly into wine and...
I was retiring.
And fat ladies and hot tubs.
It starts with Carl.
And your
retiring.
Kids are really ugly.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hung? How the kids don't even go with those parents. There's no fucking way those kids are...
And that was all Alexander.
I know it was.
And you're like, I get it.
I mean, I love the kids. They're like normal looking kids, but the parents are like freaking hot.
Have you ever made out with Van Heche?
Wow.
A little knowing laugh
you
there.
You did some digging.
Something happened there.
Dax said before he came out, no personal stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's
I mean, you can tell them about me. You said none about you.
Right. Well, no. You can tell personal stories.
Oh, okay. Okay.
None of a
lot like the ones we told in Afghanistan. Yeah. We went to Afghanistan together and we were like so, we offended so many people during the war that they were.
Well, we were in a fight much of the trip.
Yes.
And there would be these big groups of soldiers waiting for pictures, and then we would be
men and women
so loud at each other and screaming.
I go, what about when you shit the bed?
Right. And I was, because he had shit his pants.
I sharted.
Listen.
In Afghanistan. There was a war going on.
Hold on. In his defense.
There was a war going on. That's true.
We had left. In the time of war, things happen.
Yeah. There was a war in your underwear. Yeah. There's a battle going on between your pants and your
colon.
There was a
bunker buster. Yeah, exactly. So we left the mess hall where he had just consumed an insane amount of food. And he had to hit the port-a-john, right? So we're all kind of hanging out while he's in the crapper. And then this is, I'm not kidding, you hear? Big explosion, like 200 yards away. And I go to our little liaison. I go, what was that, Smith? He goes, they do controlled detonations at this base. And I go, controlled by shooting them over your head, controlled? And he goes, yeah. And then now everyone's running somewhere. And I go, and then another one. And oh, my God. And that one's like 300 yards away. And everyone's running. I go, why are they running? He goes, I think everyone's doing a drill. And I go, everyone on base is doing a drill but us. And then over the loudspeaker, we're code red, everyone in the bomb shelters. So we're like, Tom, get out of the toilet. And Tom literally comes, pants half down, running towards the... The
tell
bomb bunker.
Tell what happened
in
the bunker.
You were mad at him for the rest of the trip?
No, I was not mad at all. I was just trying to hurt his
feelings. Dad, tell what happened when we got in the bunker.
All right, so we get in the bunker, and it's pitch black, and it's just this cement tube that's about 40 feet long and this high, and we're all crouched in there. And then Tom, very loud, says, oh, man, I'm so glad we're not in here with that bitch that was in our room earlier today.
From the band,
How come that guy in the band was dating that ugly bitch?
The pierced tongue?
And then, honestly, I'm like, she's one person over.
I feel, kicking me.
Over
I feel someone kicking me.
Kicking me. Like
he goes, he's kicking me. I go, why are you kicking me? He goes,
she's sitting right next to you.
I go, okay, I'm Mike Arnold. I'm going to go get Tom.
This is his plan to cover up. I go, okay, Mike, go get Tom.
Cut.
He leaves while they're bombing.
Yeah, it was worth it.
Walks around and it comes back. Hey, buddy.
4 hours later.
Hey, I'm back.
Cut to 4 hours later. There's another. Well, here's what pissed me off. I brought the movie Pride over. It hadn't been in the theaters. Halfway through, there was always some kind of bomb thing.
I think I'm safe in saying rent that as well.
Yeah. But it was good. Terrence Howard's good.
Yeah.
And Bernie Mac. But anyway, 4 hours later, we're back in the bomb shelter for another raid. And I go to Dax. Can you believe what I said about that chicken? And he's like,
she's sitting beside you again.
And that was the last time.
And then I was like, from here on in, just assume she's always next to you.
Yeah, if you go on that show, Dating in the Dark, don't say anything, because she might be one of the other people.
So I just want to tell one other
one
other funny quick story about that trip to Afghanistan is on day six, we had this big show in front of like 6,000 people. I might be exaggerating. Maybe like 3,000. Huge
auditorium. Troops.
And neither of us do stand up, but we've said we can.
I do now.
We now do, based on the success of this trip.
Yes.
And so the minutes before, while we're taking a ride over to perform, he's got my friend carrying like a tray of food for him to eat in the car. And there's all this stuff on. And we get in the car and I've had enough. And I turn around and I go, stop being so fucking selfish. Carry your own shit. And he goes, you're arrogant, motherfucker.
You're the most arrogant motherfucker that I've ever seen in my fucking life. And we just get so. And the guy with the guard was like, getting
his gun. The gun gets out of the car because he thinks he's going to get caught in one of the flying fists or something. We have this screaming blow up fight, screaming all the way up to the stage. They hand us microphones. And we're like, hey, guys, thanks a bunch for coming out. And we move right into the routine.
It was the best we did.
Yeah, it was.
I think we should have it for every show. And I have to say,
the best fight we ever had.
How did it turn out? At the end of that show, what happened?
At least a C. Oh, you wrestled a woman.
Well, no, not just a woman, but this woman came up in full pads and said, I'm the number one Marine wrestler in the Middle East, and I'd like to wrestle you. And I look at Dax, I go, because she's like 100 pounds less than me, and I'm from Iowa, and we wrestle. I go, oh, really? You would, huh? Like collegiate or Greco-Roman or whatever. Next thing you know, she said some court.
She had me by the throat,
and then it's on.
Yeah.
And the whole trip.
And it starts off cute, like everyone's cheering, Tom's playing along, but then Tom's clearly getting his ass kicked.
Well, no, so, I couldn't pin her. Let me say something. She had shorts on, and the way to pin, and by I could see the major general who was on my ass whole trip going to Arnold, men over here, women over here. He kept getting there until I kissed a woman. I had to kiss a man.
And then how did you get the upper hand in the fight?
The only way to pin somebody is put your hand between your legs and pull them up with a shoulder blade.
That's the only
way. She had shorts on. I tried everything I could, and she was strong.
Yes, very.
And we got to the edge of the stage. It's like a 30 foot drop.
Where'd you grab her?
Well, I finally had to do what I had to do.
He grabbed her perineum,
and I put her up and put her down, and then she jumped up and goes, "That's two out of three." And by now, I was covered with sweat. What was coming? There's gravy coming out of my heart.
There was.
And I couldn't, but she said something to Dax, and it was, she goes, "What's Tom doing after the show?"
And she did want to bang.
And you go, "What's our commitment to the USO? I mean, how far does it go?" Like, you came over and actually asked me.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, it doesn't go that far. Well, we were entertaining the troops, you see.
Yeah, that's what you were there for.
Right, yeah. That was the ostensible
The troops
goal.
Should have been there for the show at the porta-potty or whatever. Or the pants,
they have
pants
bombs
down
all
show.
The time. It's just...
Yeah, they're used to it. Like, that's... I hear every... I got to go over there still, but every time one of my friends go over there, they say that they do stuff like that. They go, "Oh, that's just a test."
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a
by
test.
The other side.
Right.
Testing
their aim.
To see if they might be able to kill us.
Well, we went right after Dick Cheney had been there, so they were still firing at him.
Like a week.
They were still hating him when we were there.
You can't blame
That's
him.
True. No, you can't.
No.
No. That hatred runs deep. So let's talk about movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as we're on,
yeah, that's right. That's what the show's about. That's what the show's about. All right.
That's what the podcast is
that
about.
That could be a segue into Hurt Locker. That's it.
We got some folks just walking in. They may just think we've been talking about movies this whole time.
Yeah, I hope so.
Have you guys seen any movies lately? Like on a plane or at a screening or a premiere?
I saw one called Overnight, a documentary. I saw it last night.
Oh, I heard that's really good.
Oh my God, it's so good, Dex. You got to see
it. What's it about?
It's about you.
Okay.
No, it's about a guy.
It's about the most arrogant guy ever.
It really is, but it's not like you. No, you're not
the
arrogant.
The Dax Shepard type.
No. I've always admired people that were so arrogant that they're always like, "Hey, man, just listen for my name. I'm going to be blowing up in a year, and you be working for me." I'm always like, because I know that my career is over now. You know, there's no doubt about it. I'll never work again. I'm lucky to work. Whatever.
That's not true. Just so
but
you know.
But I always feel that way. So, you know, the people that psychotically believe in themselves so much, I've always admired that. This guy, this thing called Boondog Saints, he wrote this thing, and he was like a bartender or something, and then he was just crazy. It went to his head, and he just fucked everything up. And the arrogance is unbelievable how he ruins everything.
Yeah.
That's why Tom was there to stop you from ruining your life.
He's been very instrumental in keeping
but what
my
is so, so then this guy made a movie called Overnight?
Yeah, they did a documentary at the same time that they were putting together Boondog
Saints. About the Boondog Saints.
Yeah.
And was it good?
Oh, it was really good. It was so unnerving. I mean, I love documentaries, but it was like, boy, you can see this train coming, and this guy is going off the tracks, and you can just see it. I mean, this guy thinks he knows everything about show business, and he thinks he knows, you know, and he's bad-mouthing Harvey Weinstein, and, you know, every his agent, he's beating them up. He's, you know, we're hot. You know, it's just, oh, God. It's only 80 minutes long. Watch it. You know, it's like...
It's 10 minutes shorter than my description.
It takes a little longer for you to describe it. A little longer for Tom's description, but totally, it's like the director's
cut. Have you seen My Best Fiend?
No.
Has anyone seen that documentary? It's about Klaus, I'm going to screw up his name, but Klaus Kinski, that German actor, famous German actor, who made several movies with Werner Herzog. And their relation.
Werner.
I go German pronunciation.
I know you do.
Werner Herzog.
Nazi bastard.
All right, Werner Herzog.
I call him Herzy.
And so they made all these movies together, but they hate each other's guts, and Klaus Kinski tried to blow up Werner Herzog's apartment. And then they were filming another movie, and he was going to have the local Indians kill Klaus Kinski. This is all real. You must see this documentary, My Best Fiend.
Yeah. I'm going to tell a follow-up to that. Movie Hero, my first role. My first scene in a movie was with Dustin Hoffman, and Stephen Frears directed it. And so I didn't know, you know, I was too dumb to know anything about what's going on. But Stephen Frears had a heart attack because of working with Dustin Hoffman. And Dustin brought a heart monitor on the set. He thought it was really funny because he would, like, disappear and be out playing homeless football with homeless people and stuff. And we were on a time crunch, and it was just a crazy, crazy battle. I know Stephen Frears, like, "I'll never make another fucking American movie again as long as I live," you know. Yeah, I don't think he ever did.
From Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin's great. I mean, he's a great guy. And Steven's great.
Yeah.
But together...
They're just oil and water.
They were oil and water, but he actually had a heart attack, and then I think he was trying to give him another heart attack because it would be funny.
Right.
You know how it is. Yeah, has a heart attack.
Well, once you've had one and you survive, it kind of loses the impact.
And then I know Columbia had to say that he had ate a bad hot dog, which is always what comics say when they fucking OD. Dean Martin ate about 20 bad hot dogs at the end.
I shouldn't have gone to that carnival and eaten so many elephant ears.
Too much funnel cake.
Didn't really sit well with the heroin and the cocaine and the alcohol. What if So you like that movie, My Best Fiend? Is that what it's
called? Yeah, I recommend that.
It's on DVD now?
It's on VHS, primarily.
And they knew they were filming it?
Coming out on LaserDisc.
They knew they were filming it, like it was okay that
well,
they...
it takes all this footage, and then they interview Werner Herzog. And then you get the, behind-the-scenes stuff. And then they actually interview the South American Indians who offered to kill him.
But you never kill somebody until the movie's over.
Well, we won it, but these American Indians... No problem.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't care about continuity.
Yeah.
No, they don't care at all.
And you filmed the actual killing because you want that film.
Just a habit.
I love that.
But do you want to talk about movies that I've seen this year that are amazing? Is that what you would ask?
Yeah, tell us.
That's essentially the question.
Moon and Hurt Locker are my two favorites.
Yeah,
those are your two favorites?
Yes.
I like Shrink, too. I like that.
What?
The movie Shrink.
Who?
Kevin Spacey.
Is the movie called Shrink?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that for Doug again. Say you like Shrink. Say you like Shrink.
I like Shrink.
What?
Who? He did it. He did it.
Who? Say it again. Say it again. I'll do
Shrink.
Me.
Okay. I watched that in Star Trek while
I'm
going to
be...
I like Star Trek, too. I like Star Trek. I don't care what you say.
I'm going to be Tom Arnold. You're going to be me. Tom's gonna be
okay, I'll be you. I'm so arrogant. There's only two good movies that have ever been made. They're Moon and the Hurt Locker.
I like Shrink.
I did like
He can't play anybody but himself.
He does a great
Doug
Benson.
That. You're
he
totally
does a really good
that.
Doug Benson yeah. the whole way here.
He's got the Tom Arnold curse. Wakes up every day, still Tom Arnold.
I know.
Do you have like a team of people that mop up the sweat when you're acting? Because you don't seem sweaty when you're acting.
Well, that's a different. I'm in character for you. I'm in my funny, crazy character.
Yeah, this is your. I thought you knew that.
Are you doing this for me now?
Yeah, that's my comedy character. Yeah.
I liked.
That's not funny.
Some people can lower their heart rate to like 15 beats a minute.
That is a fact. Here, I'll tell you
that's
a fact.
A trick.
Here's a fact.
In the movie, it has come out yet.
Peace,
called,
smell, fear.
Everyone buckle up.
The Year of Getting to Know Us, starring Sharon Stone with my wife. I cheated on her with Ileana Douglas. That's all I remember. So you know it's a movie. Anyway, Jimmy Fallon's in it. He's really good, I got to tell you. And Lucy Liu. And he plays my son, but I age. Because he could never be my son. Anyway, but I lay in a coma because I have a stroke. And I said to him, it was boring, 12 hours in a coma. And I said, I'm going to close my eyes. And when the nurse comes into the scene, I'm going to make my heart go to 69. I know it sounds juvenile, but it's boring. And I can make my heart rate go to 69.
No.
And I swear on my life. You call Jimmy Fallon right fucking now, and he will tell you. Anybody in this room, you call him. And that is a fact. And I made it to 69.
Hello, Jimmy?
I just meditated and went to 69.
I'm going to interrupt that phone call.
Yeah, call do a call.
It's
waiting.
True. It's true. I could lower it and bring it up and whatever.
Wow, you can dance it around.
Yeah.
What's the range?
Well, I mean, I 50 to 220. You know.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
What movie did you like, Doug?
I liked Hurt Locker a lot.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot.
Catherine Bigelow is awesome.
You know what's?
She's a really awesome action director, and she'll finally get her due, I think.
Can I ask you guys what you know more about movies than me? Why did she direct Point Break and then I don't know and then now this? What happened?
She took a break. Oh, can I know Jim Cameron?
Do you know the answer, really?
Well, she was Jim Cameron's third wife and a very good friend of his, and he has much respect for her. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for women, especially this particular movie, Hurt Locker, to do
women.
A movie about that has anything to do with the Middle East. The people are like over it, like whatever. And so it took a lot to get this. This is something she's wanted to do for years, and it took a lot.
Made a few several movies.
She did
the other one and this one.
She made that one that Jim produced called After True Lies called. It was with Ralph Fiennes or one of those guys. Ralph Fiennes or
yeah.
Leif Garrett or one of those
strange
guys.
Strange Days.
Yeah, Strange Days. Okay. Yeah,
she
yeah.
did that and she did that vampire movie Near Dark.
Yeah,
and she did, mm-hmm. but that was probably before Point Break.
Right.
But since Point Break, she's done a few things.
Okay.
But she's,
I feel better then about
she
that.
She did like some Jamie Lee Curtis cop thing where something
blue. Cold as ice. Ice cold. Ice steel.
Blue steel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Blue steel.
This is a fun game.
But Jim will tell you that she is the most talented.
It's like talking to your parents about movies. She was in that thing. It had a word in the title. There was a word in it.
You know, they were showing it at the movies. It was at the movies for a while.
In space.
Yeah, it came out in the fall of one year, around your birthday. Did you see it?
What are your? I'll ask each of you this question. Mm. What are your favorite movies of the ones that you were physically in? The movies you've participated in. Do you have?
I'm gonna let Tom kick that off.
A standout. I can tell you my favorite of all the movies I've been in.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Doug.
That would be Super High Me.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
Because every other movie I've been in, I was just an extra or somebody in makeup or something. But what about your starring or co-starring roles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom, you go.
Can I guess what your favorite is?
Go for it.
Yours would be True Lies.
It's probably.
Okay. That makes
Happy Eddings, I like too.
Awesome movie.
I have to say that. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
You've been good in tons of movies.
He's always good.
But surprisingly so.
Yeah.
No.
You have a little bit of a Tom Arnold.
Because your expectations are so low of me that if I'm mediocre, people are like, oh my God, he's brilliant.
In your personal life, you've set the bar on the ground and stomped on it.
Yes.
To the point where when you appear in a film, everyone's pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I know. It's worked out well.
It's
genius.
It really is.
He was nominated for There Will Be Blood against Daniel Day-Lewis in the Berlin
Berlin
Film Festival.
For the Gardens of the Night. Yeah.
For Gardens of the Night, which he's great.
Did anybody see that?
But he was nominated against.
A few people saw it.
He's really great at
it.
Up against Daniel Day-Lewis.
He was up against Daniel Day-Lewis.
Did he threaten to drink you like a milkshake or whatever?
Let me tell you something. When I saw it was against him, I was like, there's no way. This isn't even a joke.
You called me and you said, well, you know, what do I do when I get interviewed and they even ask me about this? And I said, I would feel like I was a Ford Pinto that someone
put
in Le Mans race against Ferraris. Like, that's a good...
That was the first time he called you arrogant.
No. He knows me. On the way over there, Maggie Gyllenhaal happened to be on the plane, and we're sitting in the front row, and I go, did you see Daniel Day-Lewis back there? She goes, yeah. I go, how are we going to get back there and say hi to him? She goes, I don't know. The bathroom's in front of us. I go, let's pretend that the first-class bathroom is full. I'm going to walk back there casually. You follow me. And then we'll go, oh, Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm Tom Arnold. This is Maggie. We just want to say hi. We're on our way back to the very back of the plane to go to the bathroom.
Was he sitting in coach?
No, he was in first class. He's in the back row with his family, like a normal person.
In the future,
and plotted this out.
Can I tell you, though, in the future, go to his seat, open the thing above him, start rifling through someone's bag.
God,
he'll think it's yours.
I should have thought of that.
Drop something on his head.
Right.
Because the bad part is, after he was so kind to us, we had to still walk to the back of the plane to finish our line.
Right.
And like people were like, what are you going to do? Anyway, so I'm standing in Lewis and I tell Dax, I go, there's no way I'm going to win. But because they were asking me, what's it feel like? I go, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis is like... I mean, he is the shit. Yeah. I mean, he's like way beyond anything. I don't even feel like I could ever be called an
actor.
By the
way, the best guy you could lose to ever.
Yeah, no, but guess who won?
It's like I lost the bike race to Lance Armstrong.
The funniest part was the third guy won, the Iranian guy from The Kite Runner.
Yeah, fuck
who I didn't even ever heard of his fucking name.
That's bullshit.
I think it's so many votes were tied between Daniel and
Daniel. Yeah.
Come on. Well, Tom was also doing that.
Well, I guess. I don't know if people would call it rape.
Berlin. That's where it was, Berlin Film Festival?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? I thought Daniel Day-Lewis would be a jerk because he's so good.
Uh-huh.
But he was like so much nicer than I've ever been. And Eeyore Maggie, we were like, oh my God, he's so nice too. We really hate him. And he's like, here's my kids. You know, here's my kids. And like, you know. And we're like, yeah. We're just fans, I guess. You know, peers.
I gave up I switched seats so that John Malkovich and his wife could sit together.
He was in Gardens of the Night. He was in Gardens of the Night with me. Yeah, he played the good guy.
But he was super nice.
He's like, I mean, unbelievably nice. I did a couple things with him.
You meet him and you think he's like, you know, from Con Air or In the Line of Fire. Like, you think you're talking to the most evil guy
Speaking
alive.
Of which, he has the funniest, most inappropriate line in a movie ever. In the Line of Fire, he's talking on the phone. Oh, I'm sorry, actually, Clint Eastwood has the best line back to him. But he goes, John, where were you? We had a rendezvous scheduled. And then he goes, you had a rendezvous with my asshole, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you're like, did Clint Eastwood just say, you have a rendezvous with my asshole, motherfucker? So then our friend Michael Rosenbaum did a movie with Clint Eastwood, and he said to Clint Eastwood, hey, can I ask you a question about In the Line of Fire? When you say, you have a rendezvous with my asshole, motherfucker, did you improv any of that? And he goes, I may have added a line or two.
Doug, I had to say
so
one
then,
thing.
Just one more thing on top right, of that. No, we thought on. If he had just even added one more word, it would have been the most epic line of all time. If he had just added the word lips, listen to this. You have a rendezvous with my asshole lips, motherfucker.
But no. John Malkovich.
Rarely does the word lips make
How
something so
rim
filthy.
Of mine?
You
about
know,
the rim of mine?
Okay, that. Doug, you know that John Malkovich is great, serious actor, right?
Yeah.
So you know coming in to a dramatic movie, he's going to be awesome and way better than you, whatever. Then you do a comedy with him, and you think, okay, fuck this guy, I'm going to add some shit, throw him off his game. I did Buck Howard after The Guardians of Night.
Yeah.
I said, I'll do it if I can add some shit. He fucking was so funny and so right on. And in the trailer, I always ask the makeup and hair people if people are nice, because that's how you tell. Yeah. You know, he had a whole different world going on in the trailer about his kid down in Mexico that's in the circus with the giant head, and he had to get down there this weekend. He'd had Polaroids made up of some kid that he brought to work, so he had this second life going on that kept everybody amused. Not only was he the funniest outside, he was the funniest inside. I fucking hated him.
Yeah, he was killing
it. I mean, there was
him.
Nothing for me to do.
Absolutely.
He's a man for all seasons.
Dangerous liaison is what he is.
I also heard he runs a 5-minute mile.
No.
Yeah?
No.
Way.
Don't tell me he's in a hole in one.
Yeah.
Is that hard to do?
He can do 100 push-ups. When's the last time you ran a mile,
around,
Doug?
You just have to run around the track 4 times, right?
Right, yeah.
That's like a minute and something each time around.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot.
When's the last time you went jogging, Doug?
I'm not afraid. I never go jogging.
No,
never.
Why would you? Why would you?
But I work out.
It's dangerous. I work out.
What do you do? What's your routine? You hit your
iPhone? I play
iPhone.
The
we got 5 minutes.
Malton game with the last, last 5 minutes.
That's a heavy book.
Well, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
He was great in Star Trek, by the way, Leonard Maltin. It was so funny.
All the movies I selected for this week's Leonard Maltin.
Oh, that's Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, shit. I've been reading all these years. I've read this book. I thought it was Leonard Nimoy. And this means nothing
to
me now.
Yeah. He sure is opinionated for
Spock's for a real Vulcan. Know-it-all.
He directed 3 Men and a Baby and has and thinks he can complain about other movies. Okay, so these are comedies.
Okay.
They're all comedies.
Okay.
We're running out of time for the Leonard Maltin game.
I'm sweating through my shirt.
Okay, we
might
go long.
Sweating a little bit.
Okay.
No,
we're okay.
Not, we can't go long.
Oh,
that's,
get over it. It's just
happen.
A little sweat.
Yeah, go.
We
come
can't
on.
Go long.
Shh, Dax.
So we'll start with you, Dax.
All right.
This movie came out in 1981.
Mm-hmm, I wasn't alive yet.
The star's brother also appears, but it's not nepotism in this case.
Okay.
If you ask me. He really holds his own.
Look how excited you are. You already know it, don't you?
No, but I'm
that's
just...
1981. That's
the not nepotism. I'm not sure what that means.
And there's 6 names. 6 names. Don't ever look it up. 6 names in the cast. And I'll start from the bottom and read up how many names you think you can get it in, Dax Shepard. You can say
I'm gonna
name it
maybe
six.
Even need 7. I might need you to add
well,
someone.
Well, you might want
to
say 6 then.
81, I was 6. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
So you'll go with 6 names.
Okay, 6 names.
Tom, do you think you can do it in 5
I
or
think
less?
I do it
in
3.
He can do it in 3.
All right, well, we'll
you
see.
You can either say name that movie or you can underbid.
Oh, I got to name the movie?
You might have to, yeah.
Okay, I got it. Okay.
Was that your explanation of the rules of this game?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now.
Now
he
now
said I said 6, he said 3.
Two.
Now I can say choose the
now
movie.
Now you could say 2 okay. Or you can make him name it.
Okay, name the movie.
All right, here we go. 3 names. These are the 3 names at the bottom of the list of the cast from 1981 comedy. George Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
James L. Brooks.
Oh.
Jane Halloran, whoever that is. I don't know who Jane Halloran is. But those are the 3 names you get from 1981. There's 3 other names at the top of the cast list that would be much more helpful.
Yeah.
How about the number 4 slot? Is that a big, big clue?
Number 4, Jane Halloran?
No, that was 3.
That was 3.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Is the next name a big clue?
Yeah, is that a big, big giveaway?
It's helpful, but I think George Kennedy and James L. Brooks have never been in any other movies together, so
right.
If that's not ringing any bells...
Oh, they're all in it, and their brother was in it, too? Is that what you're saying?
The director's brother. That was the clue. The director's brother's in it as well.
Oh, yes. The director's brother.
I got it.
It's a Ron Howard
movie,
right?
He has to guess. No, it's not a Ron Howard.
Oh, okay. No, it's a Albert Brooks movie with Bob Einstein. It's his brother. It's okay. Called Fucking America. No. Is it called?
Yes, it's called Fucking America.
No, it's
we're gonna take our nest egg and fuck America with it.
It's a sequel to Foreplay America. I know it. It's being
called,
there.
It's called Modern Romance.
Modern Romance. Damn. Yes, of course, and it is. It
but
is.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was okay. Just so sad for brother.
Yeah,
did you know that?
Good at this game. If we had more time, we'd keep playing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that was the whole game.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Well, normally we go best 2 out of 3. Uh-huh.
Okay.
But
typically, though, only one person gets to play the game, though?
Mm-hmm.
You got the point. Mm-hmm. You got to play.
Oh, I got a point.
Yeah.
I won this
you
game.
You won.
This is a great game.
I came really close to winning.
This is my favorite game.
I came close to winning.
Yeah, I would have never got it.
All right, let's do another one really quick.
I've never even heard of that.
Okay,
let's do another one.
Okay.
All right, this is from 1996.
Southern Comfort.
My wheelhouse.
No, that's the Swayzes.
It's a comedy.
Okay.
You got 10 names to choose from.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you get to go first, Dax.
Okay.
And the other clue is Tom Arnold is in it.
So. Oh, get out of here.
I'm not going to leave. This is my show.
I'm going to go. I'll go four names.
Four names he thinks he can get this in.
What year was it?
1996.
96. Oh, yeah, you'll get it.
Wait, True Lies was 94.
That's when it came
out. I'm not telling you shit, buddy. We're a competition.
Okay, all right.
You can guess less names or you can make him name it.
Name it.
All right. So you get four names.
What a delivery.
You get four names
name
to try and guess this. The four names are...
She's having a baby.
Jordan Warkoff.
Oh,
have a seat to work
Christ.
With. Do you know who that is, Tom? Colleen Renison? Mm-hmm. Mikey Kovar? You don't recognize any of these names. Mm-hmm. These are your co-stars. Micah Gardner?
Do you remember
Little Micah? Little Micah.
Could it would have been
1996.
Mika? Could have called it as a could boy? As a boy?
M-I-C-A-H is usually Micah.
Mm.
Kim Coates was in it.
Ah, yeah, I know what it is. And he's in Sons of Anarchy.
Rod Steiger was in it. I can't believe
I know, I can't believe you. I know. I didn't even know until just now.
Crazy. Wait, can I guess the number one name on the top name?
Yeah.
Can I guess? Is it Hugh?
No, it's Tom Arnold.
You're the number one.
Yeah. He's the goddamn star.
You're
this
number
piece
one on the
shit.
Calls?
Yeah. Yeah. So you know
well,
what
then it is. Then is it Meet the Stupids?
Rachel Lee Cook.
No, Big Bully.
Your oldest daughter, I think.
Yes.
It's Big Bully.
And then Rhea Perlman. And David Paymer was the nerdy, awkward guy
I love you
that you bullied into participating.
Yeah, Big
you
Bully.
Were bullied in almost every movie in the 90s, weren't you?
Yes.
Was that it, Big
Carpool.
Bully?
No, it's called Carpool.
Yes, it was Carpool. Some kids.
What guy's
some
clapping
kids to life. I forgot Rod Steiger was in it. That's because Arthur Hiller directed it, I think.
Why'd you stop?
Because like he directed such great movies before he started directing me.
He's got
like
the
In-Laws, the Out-of-Towners, whatever. It's like John Landis directed The Stupids. He directed American Werewolf Blooded, Animal House, whatever. They're the Stupids. I always get them when they're all.
You always get
up.
Them when they.
Yeah, when it's over.
That's a good point. Schrader, that happened to you with what's his name?
Paul Schrader with Touch, which that was fun though, because I got to do Christopher Walken. I did that was okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Paul's he's so weird. He's funny.
But yeah, Arthur Hiller directed like the most amazing array of movies because he directed like Silver Streak and Love
the
Story.
Something of Emily, the Illegalization of Emily, or
like,
the something
switched
whatever.
Switched genres every time, but
yeah.
When he switched to the genre of
in
movies about Tom Arnold and a
yeah,
carpool,
that's what he went. We had every drink of beer, John Goodman. We both went down the hill together.
You could say one thing.
I knew this would be fun, but I didn't know I was going to learn this much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any plugs, like things you're working on that are coming out soon, or you want to talk about?
Go ahead. Go. Yeah, well, Brothers Justice.
We did a movie together.
He's in your movie.
Yeah. He steals the whole thing.
Oh, okay. So you wrote and directed a movie called Brothers Justice.
Yes.
And you're the lead in it as well.
And
yeah, he's everything. But when he started Bradley Cooper, we kind of let him. Him be in it. Now he's like all of a sudden at the end when we finished it, he was like the biggest star in the But by the time it comes out, he'll be back to nothing.
It's been great luck. It's been being
that
in that
Sandra
movie.
Bullock movie will bring him back.
But I have to say, being in the movie was really good luck for a lot of people and really bad luck for others.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when we started, Bradley Cooper was in it, and then he became the biggest star. And then Favreau was just starting to film Iron Man, and he was in it.
He's really good at it.
He's really good at it.
Yeah, right.
And then, so they shot to the top, and then Tom and I just waited.
I had a huge house when we started that thing.
I had a huge mansion.
Yeah, but now that's going to be great. Like, but the DVD cover will be embarrassing because it'll be their names and not you guys. But when people rent it, they'll still get to see
Dax did a great job, and it's real.
And you directed it and wrote it.
It's real.
It's awesome.
It's real.
It's funny.
When do you think people will be able to see it?
Soon.
Well, we're submitting to Sundance in two weeks.
Spirit Awards.
All right. Well, you've got a movie and lots of awards, and I'm going to be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I'm going to be in Houston this weekend at the Improv with Richie Cummings.
This weekend. Well, hopefully this podcast will be up by then. It kind of shows.
This podcast,
like,
this isn't live.
Feels like
what is? I don't even know what a fucking podcast is, so I don't even.
Some podcasts might be live, but this one is taped and then it appears on iTunes a few days later.
Is there a pod in the back?
There's no physical pod.
What's the thing Ashton does? Wait, we should have Twittered with him.
You want to go on his...
Let's go on Ashton's Twitter. Fuck you, Doug.
Okay, we're going to...
Yeah. You'll get a lot more publicity on Ashton's Twitter than you will on my podcast. I'm getting rubbed by Tom Arnold for good luck. And I'd like to thank my guests, Dax Shepard and Tom Arnold. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. As always, Willem Dafoe is a shithead. Now it's time for something of a third party. Isaac Coldley's viewing prowess makes him come.